for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that come from you. And so now we just come to your word. Open our mind and our hearts that we may receive it, Lord, and be able, Lord, to make that connection with you, Lord, that is greater than also the connection we have with the physical world. Because you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you are the one, Lord, that give us life and victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we are going to today, you know, we've been looking at a number of scriptures in the Old and the New Testament dealing with the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit works in us through a different way. Mostly as we get the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus gave so much importance to that experience. Because it's like getting, you know, it's like when you are born again, you have an experience, and it's like you get into a new dimension, a new space. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like you go into another room. You know, you just get into a new dimension, a bigger dimension. It's a more powerful dimension. You know, and without that, it's very difficult to minister to people. It's very difficult for you also to have the experience, the power. You know, I got experiences before I was filled with the Holy Spirit from God. It was supernatural stuff. But, you know, even then, you know, there was a different level that took place after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that confirms many of the things that the Spirit was telling me before. Reinforces it. So one of the things I want to really talk about is about the greatest hindrances. You know, what hinders us from being able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the basic thing that hinders us in our relationship with God all the time is unbelief. Okay, unbelief is so easy to have because we base ourselves on our logic and our experience, the experience we had before. And so anything that comes beyond that is very difficult logically to accept. If we have been a mess in a certain area up to now, it's very difficult to think that that's going to change. Because our logic is what happened yesterday is going to happen tomorrow. Okay. And this is the way to get stuck and to get nowhere. Because anything that has to happen new involves has to be open to something new to happen. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, is to guide us and to show us things to come, as it says in John chapter 14. So this is important for us to understand. And with unbelief, you see, all sins come from unbelief. Because if you would believe God, you would need to sin. He provides everything that you need. So what you need to sin for is when you instead, you know, the way happened at the beginning, Adam and Eve, they didn't believe that they got everything that they needed. They believed the other story. The other story was, well, you know, God is trying to keep things away from you. And they believed that and tried to get what God said, don't do that because it's going to kill you. You see, it's always the same pattern in our relationship with God. If we believe what he says, then we can obey him. But if we believe that we have to do something to look after ourselves because he won't, then we end up disobeying. We end up doing things that he says they are no good for us because we think they are better for us than, you know, we know better than he does. So this is basically, it's always unbelief. In you know, Hebrew chapter, it talks about, you know, the evil heart of unbelief. So what we had to understand, that one of the things that, for example, the way this unbelief manifests itself, it's simply not obeying God, disobeying God, not believing the word of God, so that we do the things that we think are good for us when God says, this is really bad for you. Okay? Sometimes we may want things, but we find difficult to receive because we don't believe. Like, for example, take healing. Okay? Well, we need physical healing. Okay? Logically, I mean, normally, unless there is something a bit warped in our mind, you know, is something that we would like to get. Okay? So you say, well, then you should be wanting to believe that. Well, it's not that easy. See, there is a complication coming there because of the condition we are in spiritually. See, one of the things that we don't believe is that we deserve it. You see, that we are unworthy to get healing. That we are not forgiven, and Jesus hasn't done enough for us for us to receive it. Now, that's a lie. That's believing a lie, because this is not so. God says, you know, if we go to Him and we repent, if we are forgiven. So if we are forgiven, He gave, you know, it's not our worthiness, it's His worthiness. So if we really believe, we shouldn't have any hindrance for us to be able to say, yes, I can have it. But we find all the excuses. You know, and sometimes, you know, can see that this is so true with children, for example, can receive much more easily than grown up. I mean, just about any child that is up to 3 years old, you pray for them, and quite likely, if you pray in faith, they believe, right? They receive right away. I have some examples that are amazing. My own family. Okay. But when they grow up, their logic starts to be in all the story, and so it becomes more difficult for them. If you see, for example, some people that come to the Lord, and they have a really messed up life, you pray for them for it, sometimes they just get it right away. Doesn't matter how messed up they are. Some Christians have been cleaned up for 20, 30 years, find it difficult to receive from God because they know all the reason why they shouldn't be getting it. Well, this is not God's. It's us, the hindrance. God's desire is to heal us, and we can see that in the Jesus ministry. You know, the funny teaching that, you know, God give us diseases to teach us something. Well, I mean, certainly what Jesus did in His ministry will have stopped many people from learning things from God, because He went around healing everybody that was sick. I mean, He must have gone against the Father's will, according to that theology, which is completely nonsensical. See, God's desire is to set us free, because when we are free, we love Him. It's that of the love that we have for Him, that we have that relationship with Him, is not because we are trying to clean ourselves up. We clean ourselves up because we receive from Him, because of the things He has done for us. He died before we do. He look after Him if we do anything. That doesn't mean that once, you know, we have accepted Him, you know, we can go around doing whatever we like and, you know, doesn't mind. He certainly does mind. So, what I'm saying to you here is that, you know, God's desire is to minister to us, to set us free, to fill up with the Holy, fill us with the Holy Spirit, to heal us, to do all these things. But we have to be willing, or we have to be believing that He wants to do these things, because we have to be recipient of this work in us. It's our faith that works. Sometimes some other people's faith can work too for us. But it's never working as well as for us. You know, if you are on somebody else's faith, or if you receive on somebody else's faith, what can happen is you go back there and you just don't believe and then you lose it. That happens with the Holy Spirit all the time. You know, sometimes there is an anointing in the place and people get filled with the Holy Spirit and they, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and then they go home and they start doubting it and they lose the whole thing and say, oh no, I made it up. The point is, you see, that's the trick of your mind that you have been following instead of really listening to what God has said and to accept what it has done. See, we have to learn to use our mind the way God designed it to use. That doesn't mean to make silly, stupid decisions. It means simply that we have to line up ourselves with the Word of God. Because He knows better than we do. And we have to, if anything, we have to ask Him to make us understand what He's saying. Because that can be a problem sometimes. Okay. So what I'm saying here to you is that, by faith, God wants to work in us, wants to minister to us, wants us to receive. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same thing as salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, whatever, provision in different areas is the same thing. You receive those things by faith. Sometimes it's easy to have faith in some areas because of your experience. You know, if you have been always successful in a certain area, it's very easy to believe that you can be successful in that area. Okay? And so, instead of making faith something spooky or whatever, is simply believing. Pistis means believing. So when you believe that you can be successful, you're going to be successful. There could be things in your way that make you not be successful, but your belief is still there and push you through, and you're going to succeed after anyway. Now you can take that and you apply it. You know, if you always have been well, and you get sick, you believe God can fix you up because you believe in the strength that you have. And quite likely, it's going to happen unless some doctors is going to start telling you all these terrible things, and then you start believing that you are done. So one has to be careful what one opened oneself up to listen. Because what you listen, you're going to believe, especially if somebody with authority tells you something. Or somebody that you assign authority. They may be completely wrong, but because you believe in them, essentially you receive what they say. Well, who more than God has authority? Who more than God has the ability to tell us the truth? So if there is somebody that we should believe, is the Word of God. Okay. And so that starts the point, you know. So one of the more experience, what I'm saying to you is this, the more experience we have in receiving from God in different areas, the greater our faith is going to be, because we are going to trust God more. Well, the more we see God's supernatural power working in us or through other people, the more our faith is going to grow to receive other things and to develop. Otherwise, what we are going to do is develop a theology to justify our failures. Okay. That's what happens all the time. You see, they come up with great philosophies to justify why we should not anymore speaking in tongues. I have a book that thick justifying that. I don't need a book that thick. I need Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And tells me the story. Hello? Do you agree with that? See, we have to stand on the word of God. God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so when we stand on His promises, we are assured that He's going to come true. That we are not going to be disappointed. But we have to hold on. We have to keep believing. Sometimes even if the evidences are contrary. You see, the fact that one of the key things is to believe that we can believe, that we can receive, that God is going to give it to us. Because, you know, sometimes we believe, well, He can give it to somebody else, but I don't deserve it. I am this or the other thing. You know, find excuses why we should not. Well, the point is, if you are saved, you are qualified to receive anything from God. Sometime even before you are saved, God, in His mercy, gives it to you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. So you see, He has qualified us to receive anything that He promises. And we have been set free, as it that He has pulled us out of the kingdom of darkness. That means that the power of darkness, the powers of sin, is not anymore controlling us. And we are instead in the kingdom of God. See, we had to start to live in the kingdom today. With all that means. So, first things then is the fact that, you know, unworthiness, the fact that you don't deserve it, the fact that forget about that. If, say, you know, well, if you have sin in your life, and we all sin, let's face it, we all make mistakes, we all do things that we shouldn't be doing. Okay. But even if in this case, you know, if there is sin there, well, the thing that we can do is simple and resolve it and finish with it, which is repent. If we know, you see, again, the same as faith, sin is the same way, you know, is not general sin. It's specific sin. If you say, I'm a sinner, you put yourself in a place where you just lost. There is no way to fix a sinner. But when you say, I've sinned, I've done this that is wrong, then you can do something about it. But if you say, you know, I'm faulty, and there is nothing you can do because you just can't fix nothing and say that then so that's going to change anything. You see, if there is a specific thing that is very easy to fix, you can say, well, this is wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I missed it there. And you can assume and you can believe that you are forgiven. That means, you know, you say, I'm not going to do, I'm stopping doing this. Hello? Now, if you have a problem about doing that, that's an indication that you love more the sin than you love the Lord. If you think, for example, that if you, you know, even if you promise you can fall again, this is a question of, again, question of faith. You see, unbelief. You believe, you see, who gives you the ability to overcome sin? What the scripture we just finished reading, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So what you have to believe is actually that He's going to empower you to overcome that particular sin. And so in faith, Again, the same story. In faith, you believe that you're going to, as you repent, you're going to overcome the sin in your life. And if you do it in faith, you got the victory. You see, this is the thing. This is what salvation is all about. The ability to overcome sin because you believe that God set you free. See, when we sin, we make a decision because we believe that that's the way to go. So what I'm saying to you is, no matter what, you know, in First John chapter 1, let me read you the scriptures here, starting from verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is not, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we, you see, his blood is what he does in us. If we have said that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So, do we believe what he says? Or do we believe something that maybe our past experience? I mean, the fact that something happened before doesn't mean anything. Our past doesn't need to be our future. You see, it's when we allow our past to continue that we create our future. It's our faith that determines our future. I mean, our faith means simply what we believe. So if you believe that you're going to keep sinning, guess what's going to happen? But if you believe that because you repented, you are forgiven, and he's cleansed you, I mean, you had to really get to the place when you see and you believe and you stand on the fact that he has cleansed me from all unrighteousness about this particular area in which I am struggling. And maybe you know that you may be falling because you are distracted, because your attention is being taken away and something happened. Well, do it again. And again, until the whole thing, you know, you become sensitized. You start seeing it before you get there. You see, that's a decision that you had to make. You had to discern where you're getting into the place in which is going to be a temptation. And you had to make the choice not to go there, but to go in the other direction. You see, in making that choice, you exercise your faith. You believe that God empowers you, that you don't need to go in the past ways, but you can go in the new way. So, see, I'm talking about sinning, I'm talking about being able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. Are you following what I'm saying? See, like everything else, it's by faith that you do that. So, if you got to this place, you can say, I have repented, I am forgiven, I'm qualified. Can you say that today? Well, why don't we do it? Amen? So, I've repented, I am forgiven, I am qualified. Praise the Lord. Amen? So, You know, and any time that any other thoughts come to you, you can repeat yourself that. And says, no, I am forgiven. I have repented. I'm qualified. I'm going to keep walking in the light. I'm not going to walk in the darkness. I'm going to have victory in my life. I've been set free from the power of darkness. I've been shifted or moved into the kingdom of God. Okay. So sin should not be a problem. Your feeling of unworthiness should be dealt with. Okay. So, another element that can be an hindrance is pride. I mean, people say, well, you know, I'm born again, got the Holy Spirit, I don't need that. I don't need to speak in tongues. Well, that's not what Jesus said. So, it's a question in that case of accepting what the Word says against maybe what you think. Okay? Pride is a difficult thing to break. See, that's another area. See, pride is going the will way instead of going God's way. And one of the things you have to do is to repent about that. About wanting to have your way. Well, I don't need that. That's not what Jesus said. Okay? So this is, brings us to the point where we can make a decision and actually find an area of repentance that we have to apply before we can see the change taking place, before we can receive actually what God has promised. And finally, there is final step. You know, receiving means to appropriate by faith, to take. You have to make the decision, okay, that this is for you and that you are going to take it. You want it. Why you want it? Because Jesus said, wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall receive power. So this is really the thing that is going to make the difference. Because he said it, you want it. So there has to be a design, a decision inside you to do that. Appropriating by faith. Now there is another element, sometimes that is connected to having heard things that are negative about it. You know, there's lots of theology that talks about that, and that produces fear in people. So, overcoming fear. One of the things that overcome fear, well, maybe, you know, I'm more opening myself to something else. Well, for that, you see, one of the things you had to do to receive that is to ask the Father. If you ask the Father, in Luke chapter 11, starting from verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives, and whoever seeks, finds, and whoever knocks, it will be opened. If the son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit who ask him? So the first things that one has to do to receive the Holy Spirit is to ask the Father and to expect. You see, there is an expectation required. Expect that he's going to give you exactly what you ask for. He loves you. He's not going to deceive you or give you something else. Are you still there? So, you know, if you have it or if you don't have it, you know, the thing is to do is to pray to the Father. So maybe we can pray together about that. Okay. So Father, I want all you have for me. including the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am born again. I qualify for it. I want it because you want to give it to me. Amen. So, if there is any fear about that, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and love and a sound mind. So, push those fears away. Have nothing to do with them. Don't dwell in those fears because they are a lie to keep you from receiving from God. Then you have to be just open and receptive. I mean, just God wants to give you a great experience. Okay? And Peter said it very simply, you know, in Acts chapter 2:38, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's where you start believing. Just simply believe. Now the point is, after we have seen all this scripture, do you believe you can receive? I mean, you believe that there is a basis, on a scriptural basis, for you to receive it. Okay, so it's a question of deciding for you, yes, I want it, and I'm going to follow and obey God in bringing it to pass, because I'm going to exercise my faith concerning it. You see, it's a question of obedience. Obeying to God, yes, I'm going to act on faith, or act by faith, and I'm going to start opening myself up to God, receive it, and then manifest what God has given us, which is speaking in tongues. That's all it is. So if, you know, sometimes there are people that received it and then they lost it because the story I explained before, you know. With the anointing, the presence, God at that moment, they received it, they start speaking in tongues, then they went home, they start thinking about it, and they just went away and they haven't used it for a long time. Or maybe, you know, some time passed by and whatever. When you can, you know, the Bible, the word says, be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. And what we, when we speak in tongues, one of the things that we do is edify ourselves, we strengthen ourselves, we are going to see some of the benefits. So, you know, one of the ways that people did in those days, I mean, you need to just by yourself, right there in your seat, believe God, ask the Father, receive, and start speaking in tongues. Just as simple as that. The way I did it on my Chesterfield in 1974. Now, many do the way Paul did with the laying on of hands, and in that case, you know, if you want a hand, want me work my faith with your faith, that's fine with me. And I'll pray for you and with you right now. So it's really a decision. I cannot make the decision for you. I cannot push it or to make it happen. You know, it's up, depends on you. We had talked about all the scriptures. We've given you all the evidences and so on. You believe the word and receive. Simple as that. Anybody wants to be prayed for? Anybody wants to receive the Holy Spirit that didn't have it before? You do? Come on. Some people. Come closer here. So you don't speak in tongues yet, huh? No. Oh, that's okay. That's good. So you're going to get it today. Do you think you can get it?
Yes, I do.
All right. That's a good confession. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Father, just praise and thank you. There it is. The anointing goes. Just... Now, just let it... The way it's going to be that you're going to start feeling something inside, like bubbling, or just... You are the one speaking, not the Holy Spirit. When you wake up, you're going to just feel the anointing coming upon you. And you're going to be starting to speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. Anybody else that wants to be prayed for?